Atheist Nomads, episode 225, Heresy and Schisms.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we are joined again by Aaron.
Hello.
Back again.
And so I went full 26 hours without any nicotine. I was not going with the goal of like cold turkey. It was the goal of a little bit more aggressively weaning myself down. But I made it 26 hours and then had reached the point where my brain just wasn't working. Like, it was so fun. Like, I'd gone all day feeling like all I needed was another cup of coffee. And it didn't matter how many cups of coffee I had.
Is that what alcoholism is like?
I still just need another cup of coffee.
Maybe. You just need another.
Yeah, so I stopped after like 4-5 cups, but I still felt like I just need another cup of coffee.
You really did drink that much coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Were you also like shaking uncontrollably?
No. I thought that everything we were doing at orientation was ridiculous and stupid and infuriating.
Yeah, but
that was also because
ridiculous and stupid and infuriating because it's an orientation.
It's an orientation to be able to keep doing the job I've been doing for 3.5 years. Yeah.
Sounds boring and stupid and ridiculous
and nobody likes us, so why does companies, corporations keep wasting money forcing them on people?
Because it's corporate indoctrination, and that's how corporate indoctrination works.
briefcase, meeting.
Yeah. So anyway, yes.
Synergy.
With any luck, though, by the end of the week, I will be completely off of nicotine and done vaping and over withdrawals. I'm going to try to manage the withdrawals with small amounts of nicotine at various points. Yeah. I got some zero nicotine e-liquid that I mixed up last night to help through the process. It actually is helping because when I get the urge to vape, you know, the habitual need to just grab it and take a puff, I can do that. And yeah, it's not satisfying because there's no throat hit. And I know that there is what I am taking that puff for isn't there. It still helps.
Good.
It is so bizarre, even though I know it's basically a habit placebo.
Right.
It still works.
Yay.
Which I know means it's not a placebo because I'm still going through the motions. And at this point, this is more habit than addiction. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you good success and luck.
Yes. Good luck with that.
I mean, in the most sincere way. That's good.
Yeah.
No, timing couldn't have been worse considering the amount of stress at work and the stress with the pregnancy coming to a close and getting enough back material for the show to not have to do the show for a month when the baby's born. And of course, the fact that, okay, due date's not for what, another 3 weeks?
Boo!
She could be born anywhere from tomorrow to a month from now.
Yeah.
I'm totally betting on the last minute. Like 41 weeks plus 6.
Like she's going to be really wanting to stay in there for a while.
Yeah.
So you're going for that they're going to have to induce?
Worst case scenario.
Hmm. Yeah.
This is going to be so typical. Actually, this entire pregnancy has been typical. She probably will be born on the due date.
Nice.
I don't know.
Let's hope it's just a sneeze and she's out.
There we go.
I hope she's a couple days before the due date because to maximize the time off, it would be nice if the labor starts, say, Friday. And then I come home from work Friday afternoon and yeah, that would be... That's how it would work most convenient for me as... Yeah.
I'm now, glad you thought this through.
Considering the fact that I was originally going to get to take a month off when the baby's born and now I get a fucking week.
Bullshit.
Yep.
And I have to sit through orientation. I'm not sure which is worse.
As soon as they bring up personality tests, it's just like done.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was such bullshit. I couldn't answer most of the questions because they were bullshit. We were getting rushed through it. So actually, my highest ranking one was ruler slash driver. Tied with... This is bullshit. I didn't answer a fucking question.
I am the ruler.
And the one that I like completely didn't fit with was entertainer. And it was so crazy. That
Which is funny because you have a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's so true. You're not an entertainer at all.
No, no. That's why I need other people.
Well, at least you recognize that and you hire out your weaknesses. That's what management does.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
that synergize.
Yeah.
Synergy.
Yeah. Oh man, the personality test was so stupid. God. Oh, and since there was only three of us in the ruler slash driver category, we get up there and all three of us had to describe the traits of that category. And got to me, and I was like, yeah, personally, I didn't see any patterns. And she's like, okay, let's move on to the next group.
She's like marking down a big X next to your name. Not a team player.
Well, okay, and it is so ridiculous to make up some bullshit personality test to make people go through so that you can divide everybody up. As part of team building?
Right.
I still don't understand the IMGJTBCDEZ. I have no
Myers-Briggs.
Idea.
Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I'm just like, I don't know what that means, and I don't really care to know. And if you put that on your dating profile, you will immediately be out of my book.
It's almost as bad as saying you're a Sagittarius.
So, depending on when I've taken the Myers-Briggs, I have been either a INTJ, a ENFJ. No, not J. Ian. It's always been a T and a J. The others have been all over the place.
I don't even know what that means.
All I know is the introvert, extrovert.
Oh, okay.
Which I've been all over the place on.
Yeah.
Yeah, high school, total introvert, now... Pretty much a total extrovert.
Can you be you can be like an introverted extrovert.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I feel like that's me.
An extrovert with kind of some hermit tendencies.
Yeah. For sure. Like you have to recharge, which is
like
definitely.
Like every 9 months.
Which definitely.
Go outside.
Right.
And I get super energized and I get energy off of people.
Yeah.
And it's great. And then I go back to my humble abode and ignore everybody for another 9 months.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about with divisions and dividing groups.
Oh, I hate math.
Schism.
Oh, okay.
So there are two things that happen in religious groups other than everybody just getting along and moving along. Occasionally you get reform that actually does work. Generally speaking, though, there's heresy, which is somebody believing something different than the norm. And if a heresy can't be crushed, or if it can't become the new norm, it creates a schism. Because eventually
maybe
the group will split.
Name.
So, for example, you have...
No, supervillain, sorry.
throughout the... And every religious group does this.
Every religious group? Unitarians do this?
Oh, they were a result of a
schism. I know.
They were a schism, and then they
schismed.
She's
trolling me. I'm like, let me educate you about Unitarian. Oh, wait, we grew up at the same freaking church.
I was just there.
Oh, my God. Dork.
So when one Congregationalist hated another Congregationalist, they split.
For sure.
And then they split, and then they split.
Yeah.
And then some of them got back together.
Aw, that was so sweet.
And they decided they could all get along on not necessarily believing anything. Unless you want to.
One wants to fuck another buddy's person's wife, get a divorce, you know, that happens.
But so the first big schism, sorry, my brain still isn't quite fully working, was after the Council of Ephesus in 431. And this split off the Assyrian church, which is still separate to this day, with the exception of a later split off of that that helped form the Eastern Rite of the Roman Catholic Church. And that all started with heresy. And what's funny is the two earliest, biggest, first three big ones, basically everything before the Protestant Reformation, all of the schisms were about the Trinity.
So, because it makes no sense.
Right. It makes no sense. So you're going to argue about what is the Trinity. And they kept splitting over what is the Trinity. Now, they also got some weird things that came up with it, like the Great Schism, or the Great East-West Schism between the Eastern and Western Church. That schism in 1095 was over the nature of the Holy Spirit, because they'd already gotten past the schisms about the nature of Christ. And nature of the Holy Spirit, and do you have leavened or unleavened communion wafers?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, the first one I get. Philosophically, debate. That's some deep shit. But the freaking bread, let it go.
You can't. That is important.
It is the body of Christ.
Does Jesus have a microbiome, or is he perfect and free of a microbiome?
What microbiome is what makes us perfect.
That is
love my bugs.
That's a theological
my baby bugs.
Discussion.
I shall share my baby bugs with my baby.
So then
microbiome.
So then you continued getting more schisms. There was
more schisms.
There was a brief schism with the Great Western Schism.
The Great Western Schism.
When there was three popes.
Oh.
And then eventually they all came back together. You got then the...
They conquer each other.
Who will be the ruler?
Well, two were determined to be the anti-popes, and all of the... All of the kings and princes decided on one pope as
the pope. Oh my god, it sounds like a Harry Potter thing.
And the others as the anti-popes. Yes. Oh man, there was so much excommunicating going on. Because that's the other thing that happens, is at the point of schism, like the final step... Because, okay, so there's a progression that happens. You have an idea. You have the presenting of the idea. The gaining of people that convinced of this idea. It then gets declared a dangerous heresy.
Do you think the three of them sat down in a room and took a test?
No.
Orientation, and then they had to decide which was a ruler?
No, yes. they just excommunicated each other.
Sorry, Dustin.
So then after the heresy phase, you have it then continue to grow, and there's attempts to reconcile, and then when that fails... The final step is all of you heretics are excommunicated.
Is that what happened with the New Testament?
That was just determined by council.
But it was still like old God, new God kind of thing.
No. And when you say New Testament, that is actually a term that in English definitely has meaning. But depends on which Bible you're talking about.
Well.
Because there are denominations, especially in the Eastern Church, that have books that differ.
It's all about politics, man.
But the books of the New Testament, those were established by council. The books of the Old Testament were more just kind of agreed upon based on translation committees as to which books to include, and then just kind of happened. that one wasn't really settled until like Martin Luther.
Wow. Okay.
When he decided to not include a whole bunch of books the Catholics had been including in the Old Testament. the ones that are now known as the Apocrypha. But so the next big schism was with the Protestant Reformation, with many, 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 many schisms.
Mm.
And ever since, it has been schism upon schism upon schism upon schism, to the point where they tend to not be considered schisms.
Oh,
you'll get them called that with like the split from Anglicans from the Catholic Church, and the split of your Anabaptist and your Lutherans and your Calvinists and the Restorationists. And then you just have it dividing up further and further and further into more and more groups as more and more denominations form, until you get to the point where in the U.S. there's something like 2,000 Christian denominations.
Right, mm-hmm. Which doesn't seem very Christian-like.
Well, it is only problematic if you are, if you hold to the Nicene Creed, which includes the bit about the one true Catholic and Apostolic Church, Catholic meaning universal, or Orthodox is in there too. The one true one Orthodox Catholic Apostolic Church, and there's either the belief that you have the one church and everybody else is wrong, or then they're all heretics, or that it doesn't actually mean anything. And
schisms. Okay, well, that clears it like mud.
So yeah, that's how schisms work.
Okay.
It gets, one reason why it gets muddier with Protestant groups is there isn't necessarily a fine line of a group splitting into two or one faction splitting off from a group, because you get these weird movements that just kind of spring up from nowhere. Kind of.
Yeah, isn't everything heresy these days?
Heresy.
Heresy.
Depending on who you ask, anything anybody believes, somebody believes is heresy.
Hmm.
Or bullshit. Yeah.
It all makes my head
hurt. The greatest
hurt.
Superhero of all time, bullshit man.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we have news. Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads. I know what everybody thinks we're going to talk about, but we have something first. Before that, Poland was just celebrating their Independence Day. And Polish Independence Day celebrations, they have two Independence Days. Their initial Independence Day from the Soviet Russians plus the Germans and the Austrians post-World War One, and they also have their Independence Day against the Soviet Union in 1990. Ooh. 89, 88, one of those.
Yeah, they get two.
Oh, fun.
So anyway, yeah, so they're having this nice big Independence Day, and about 60,000 people decided to protest. They were waving red and white Polish flags. They were chanting death to enemies of the homeland. Catholic Poland, not secular. There was...
Is this like a nationalist movement?
Oh yeah, oh okay. Yeah. There was they were complaining about Muslim immigration, gay rights, the EU, anything that goes against Polish Catholic values. There was even stuff about white Europe.
So basically, one of their Independence Days is independence from fascism. So now these people are protesting to go back to fascism.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if you got red flares and torches, you might be the baddies. No.
They never had independence from fascism, because that independence from when half of Poland was conquered by Nazi Germany, right. It was then just taken by Russia. So they went from a little bit of fascist rule to directly to communist rule. So there was no independence there.
I was hoping they'd have better European fashion sense.
It was a lot of hoodies.
I do like a good... God, they're going to ruin a hoodie.
Especially if that pocket's on the inside. Well, they're magical.
It's fucking November in Poland.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to be wearing coats with hoods.
Don't ruin it for everybody. No. 60,000 people?
Yeah. Yeah. This makes...
People coming from, apparently, other countries. Okay. This is huge. I mean, it's still technically a small percentage of the population.
But still...
That is massive, though.
We freaked out about a few thousand skinheads gathering in the Unite the Right rallies here in the U.S.
Right.
And I don't know if it's even really into the few thousands.
Right.
I think it was more in the hundreds. This is 60,000 people.
I'd be freaking frightened. I'd be frightened.
If you want to know what the right-wing European nationalist viewpoint is, when we talked to Lauren L. from Republican Atheists, we talked mostly, ended up inadvertently not talking about Republican politics in the U.S. It was mostly about European nationalism.
Huh.
It is pretty terrifying.
Whole lot of baddies.
Yeah. Now, closer to home, we have a group calling themselves God's Army.
Ugh, these guys.
They are patrolling the streets in North Phoenix. They are walking around in police-looking uniforms. On the back, it says God's Army. On the front, Jesus, which in Phoenix, I think people probably assume that's Jesus.
Look, it's a group of Jesuses.
But they're wearing all black. They've got utility belts. They are wearing boots.
Oh, no.
They seriously look like police. They're going around door to door talking to businesses. The police hasn't, at least as of the article I'm looking at right now, the police haven't actually commented on this at all. They've been asked about it and said, we have no comment.
Yeah.
So is this like a mafia type thing? Like they're going in, they're shaking down businesses for money. I mean, what's their point?
They're terrorizing 80-year-olds in retirement facilities.
Listen, have you heard the good word?
This is...
That's what I feel like they're saying.
Yeah.
Ex-military and ex-police... they are saying that they are just out there to glorify Jesus in areas afflicted by crime, and that if they see anything illegal, they'll just call the cops.
No.
Well, I don't believe that for a second.
No. And I can see the cops totally going along with this, because there's going to be a bunch of ex-cops that are doing it. So they're not going to say, no, it's probably not a good idea wandering around with weapons out and paramilitary uniforms.
They just have uniforms. They have weapons?
Oh, so one guy, a former New York City police officer, has handcuffs, mace, 9mm Glock, some extra magazines. No, their utility belts aren't empty.
Okay.
I do have to give him credit for learning from the best.
Batman.
Good.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Totally on the same page there.
They're not going Batman style. They're going police style. There's a big difference.
I do not want to see when this turns bad. I mean, I'm hoping for that not to be the story. Like, so?
Yep.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. Okay, so now for the story everybody's expecting. Roy Moore.
Kitty Fiddlers.
We Roy Moore is for as much of a idiot as he is, keeps on coming up on the show a lot because he keeps on doing things that gets on our show. In case you need a refresher on
basically
him.
Basically our nemesis. Yes,
please refresh my memory of Roy Moore.
He has twice.
I did the same thing. I'm like, who's that?
He's twice been Alabama's Supreme Court Chief Justice. He has twice been removed from the post for judicial ethics violations and not following orders from federal judges. First over a Ten Commandments monument. Second over judges issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Right.
Yes. Those are the hills he has decided to die on.
So is this also a guy who just admitted to having sex with underage?
He's denying it.
Oh, he's denying it.
Yeah. He's denying it. Everybody's assuming it's true.
Yeah.
So he's running for U.S. Senate to fill Jeff Sessions' seat.
Okay.
He is, I think, more Jeff Sessions than Jeff Sessions even is. But this guy, okay, so Roy Moore graduated from West Point.
Mm-hmm.
He then went and fought in Vietnam. He then got back, went to law school, and then got a job as an assistant DA in a small town in Alabama, where at the age of 32, started hitting on teenage girls. One, the one he went the furthest with, he got, at least out of the recent accusations, he got her into his mobile home that he was renovating, where he took off her shirt and pants.
Alabama.
Yeah.
And he took off his shirt and pants and he started groping her and put her hand on his crotch. They were all still wearing underwear.
Okay.
Apparently that's as far as it went. He was a 32-year-old assistant district attorney.
Yeah.
Who had picked her up at the courthouse while her mom was going through divorce proceedings.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, classy.
So everyone's going to hate this, but I only learn about these people through Saturday Night Live.
That's all you need.
Right.
Recently?
So that's the only reason why I'm like, oh, now it rings a bell.
So there are, and there have been more accusations of him hitting on teenage girls.
Yeah.
14, 15, 16, 17.
Ugh.
There are people calling this bullshit since that was so long ago.
It's forgettable
now.
Because it was so long ago.
Whatever. Everyone's over it now, right? So.
Yeah. Well, apparently
not.
29% of Alabama evangelicals are actually now even more likely to vote for Roy Moore.
Well, because he's got machismo. He's a stud.
He's the underdog.
Yeah.
Fake news is just piling on him. Wording, phrasing.
It's actually kind of... So 28%, the accusations make them less likely to vote for him. For 34%, it makes no difference. 29%... 37% of evangelicals say that the allegations would make them more likely to vote for Moore in the special election. And 29% of all respondents in this poll of Alabama voters have said that it'll make them more likely to vote for him.
Alabama, home of pedophilia. We've known that forever, though.
Yeah.
What's funny is the people who are coming to his defense.
Yeah. Like Alabama State Auditor. This is... Jim Ziegler. He told the Washington Examiner that these accusations are that a man in his early 30s dated teenage girls. Even the Washington Post report says that he never had sexual intercourse with any of the girls and never attempted sexual intercourse. You got a girl down to her underwear and started groping her. Yeah, that was attempting sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
He went on to describe that. Yeah, this all happened in the Bible. Older men going for teenage girls, including Joseph and Mary. And after all, it must be okay because Moore did marry one of the girls.
Oh. Uh-huh. Makes it all right now.
Now, by that time, he was 38 and she was 24. Which, I don't know if they had been dating since she was a teenager or if he'd finally just matured enough to where he was okay with women in their 20s.
I don't know. It's, you have this hyper-Christian right wing all coming together and saying, no, it's okay. It's in the Bible. It's like, but if somebody were Muslim and trying to marry anybody under the age of 18, you guys would be burning them at the stake.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I feel like they forget what time this book was written, and people's lifespans weren't that long. So, of course, all this happened because
it was a different world.
Yeah, it was a totally different world, and people lived, but
that, and they still treated women like shit.
Right.
And I mean, we're in a world now, a society that doesn't treat women and girls like, well, tries not to treat them like shit.
I don't know.
And even back then, the odds of 14-year-old girls getting married off routinely would have actually been slim, because most often back in Bible times, 14-year-old girls wouldn't have reached puberty yet. Puberty happened later because a lot of it's tied to just access to nutrition.
Right.
And if you haven't...
We have fat young hoes now.
Yeah.
Woo! Womp hey, womp. Don't slut shame them. They're just getting it in.
It's just, it is kind of sad that we're coming down to like 9 years old. Because we have obesity problems.
Yeah, that's not normal.
No, it doesn't matter what time, what age they're referring to. It's a modern society. These judges are upholding laws that say you cannot touch or rape or do inappropriate contact with 14-year-olds, and then they're turning around and saying, well, we're an exception.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, a different time.
Don't refer back to a different time. That doesn't justify your actions.
Now, part of me wonders if this is a direct byproduct. These accusations actually coming to light are a direct byproduct of the Me Too campaign.
I mean, I feel like we are hearing. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I feel like we're hearing a lot more, and people are coming out a lot more. Because they're feeling comfortable, because it's solidarity. I don't think this is anything that's new, right. Honestly. I mean,
obviously he did this years ago.
Right. So I just think people are feeling more comfortable and seeing that there's not these huge repercussions, these huge shame, which is great. I mean, It's great to voice, and there's no more. I'm not saying there's no more shame, but I think I think it's because of the coincidental or not. I think it's great that we're hearing more about it, because then it's just like hearing about people who have mental illness and people who have who have sexual assault past. And I think it's time to take some people down who have abused their powers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's easy to call out somebody when something happened 30 years ago, but none of this stuff, like she says, none of this stuff is new, but none of it's old either. Louis C.K. just got busted for a bunch of stuff that he's done within just past couple of years.
Right.
But apparently it's been told, it's been said, I've listened to comedy podcasts, and apparently this is something that I've heard about several years ago, that there have been talks about him doing things.
Mm.
And no one wanted to say anything because he was up and coming. He's a big producer. And then it just kind of got to a point where it's like, enough's enough. And regardless of if you're a producer or not, I think people are getting tired of feeling like they have to hide to and let all these people, you know, have all this power. You gotta take it away, you know? And unfortunately, it's always the people who call them out first who have the most to lose.
Yeah.
And sometimes do. But then when you have a whole group of people, it takes the power away from that one person. So.
Which, and now it seems like every celebrity has done something wrong.
Yeah.
Because we're human.
That's because,
I'm not justifying anything.
Like, every celebrity has taken it. Has crossed serious lines there.
We all. I'm not saying I'm justifying anything that anybody's done. There are some serious allegations and things that have happened, but we are also kind of muddling along as flawed humans. You know, we all.
As long as we're aware of the hypocrisy, right. I guess is
right.
It's like there's not much we can do about it, but
we've all done shit. I mean, I've been told from day one, if I wanted to go into politics, I better have a squeaky clean record, you know?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And the whole thing is that, like, now being a third, not, I don't know, maybe I want to be in politics, maybe I don't, you know, but the whole thing is that I always felt like, oh, I want to be the first female president when I was 9. But then all of a sudden, stuff and shit happened, and it was like, oh man, well, I'm a woman. People look into your background. They're going to put it into a spotlight. Do I want that out for everybody to judge
me? That one time I smoked pot.
You know? No, I didn't. You know, I didn't want to feel that.
No.
So, I mean, we all, again, we're all human. We all do some shit, but... For the most part, though, not everybody takes advantage of their power. You know, I think it should be called out if you are, if you're doing things to young children, if you're doing things against people's consent. That's taking advantage. And I think there is a way. I don't know. There's a way to get ahead without doing that, but. It's interesting, Dustin, you did bring that up. It's interesting that it seems like everybody has done something.
Yeah. There was a movie that was basically ready to go that's been, is getting, basically they're starting over because of all the accusations against Kevin Spacey.
This is how it's always been in Hollywood.
It has.
In any entertainment industry, entertainment and politics are very similar.
Yeah.
In that you get places by with this perception that you have to whore yourself to the top.
Right.
And it was considered glamorous and just part of the show. And it's like, now we just reached this realization that that's not the case. You don't have to be that way.
Right.
So now would be... I'm very interested to see how things will be run from now on. If they start regulating this stuff and start punishing people who take advantage of
other people.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how the market handles it.
Right.
When it comes to people in media. Right. There's also the... Like, if... Yeah, it's always suspicious if... When... You... are running the chance of losing everything because shitty things you've done gets found out, or at least finally gets reported widely.
Right.
And you come clean and recant everything and apologize. That's always going to look suspicious. That's still better than like what Roy Moore did.
Yeah.
Which was call it all fake news.
Right. But, I mean, if you're going to bring up Kevin Spacey, he did do it in a really shitty way and then was finally like, I'm gay, which then was like, oh, so this just gives people who are backwards thinking that gay and pedophilia go hand in hand, and it's really shitty, you know?
Yeah, so we can agree on that. That's
all right. Well, let's move from one sticky subject to a semi-related one. The state of Oregon has very strict rules about the age of consent. It's not like a lot of states where there's a gray zone. It is a firm line at your 18th birthday. On one side of it, everything's perfectly fine and legal. On the other side, it's a felony. Well, assuming one party is on one side of that line and the other party is on the other side.
Right.
You're going to prison for a very long time. Yeah, it's a very, very firm line. The Salem-Keizer School District is now interpreting it a little bit different and has informed teachers and staff. And this is a school district with more than 40,000 students that if they learn or even suspect that a student under the age of 18 is sexually active, that they need to report it to the police under the state's mandatory reporter laws, because children under the age of 18 can't consent under Oregon state law. Therefore, that is sexual abuse.
So so they're also saying that, like, if two 14-year-olds were having sex, then both of them.
If two 17-year-olds are having sex, it's that's sexual abuse. Yep. Which then brings up the question of who's abusing who?
No words. It's hard because there's a part of me that wants to advocate for children's rights. You know, that they have the right to do certain things with their bodies at certain ages. Especially stuff that is unavoidable, such as sexual contact. It's just kids will be kids kind of thing. At the same time, I'm like, okay, yeah, but there's a lot of kids who get in deep, deep trouble because of this. Not to mention all the STDs and unwanted pregnancies and emotional and physical abuse. So it's really hard for me to stand firm on this issue.
Right.
Punishing, but making it a mandatory reporting, that just turns all teachers into snitches, and nobody's gonna win in this scenario.
Well, I also feel like that's a big way of making kids be even more unsafe and sneaking around.
Well, it's, you know, they like say the knowledge is power thing.
You know, and it's like we take away sex education, we take away, it's almost like
it's like they're doing it on purpose,
right? But it's almost saying like you don't have ownership of your own body until you're 18. Like, you're right. You can't make any choice for yourself because you don't know how to. It's, you know, it's almost like you're an idiot until you turn 18, which we all know is not true, because we're all idiots when we were still 18. So,
well, this even goes to the point of if a student asks a teacher a question about contraceptives or about how to avoid, even if it's just a question, what can I do to avoid getting pregnant? Now the teacher has to call the cops.
No way. Really?
That's what they're...
Yeah.
That is crazy. So they don't teach, which is so crazy to me. So they don't teach sex ed then, it would sound like. It would sound like that is an illegal class to have.
Yeah, it would be like teaching, you know, the height of the drug war, teaching people how to smoke pot or cook meth or something. That is literally what, like, how people see it. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. It's not how any of this works.
I'm pretty sure sex ed is still in the Oregon state curriculum.
Okay.
And the state of Oregon has very strict rules on if it's in the curriculum, you have to teach it.
Okay.
Even in private schools.
Right.
I mean,
do you think that,
that
Oregon would be like a very progressive sex education?
It's just this one district. I don't know. But, they're just.
I mean, Salem. Salem is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Living in the Willamette Valley area. I mean, Salem's an interesting place. I will tell you that it seems a little bit more. I mean, you go off the freeway and there's a huge correctional facility right in the middle of downtown. Yeah. It seems like, you know, yeah. So it seems like they're a little bit. I don't know.
It's one of the largest conservative cities.
Right. Yeah. In that area.
Period. Conservative cities aren't common. Salem is.
Well, I don't know. No,
quite conservative for a city.
I thought, for the most part, Oregon is only blue because of that little corridor. I mean, because of Portland mainly, and Corvallis and Eugene. But besides that, everything else, the coast.
Tillamook tends to be blue.
Yeah.
Just weird.
Yeah.
Blue cheese.
That's because, that's because they have happy cows. Is that? No, that's California.
That's California.
Also, let's not talk about Tillamook. I just learned some really, really shitty things about them.
Oh, okay.
And it makes me sad. Everything makes me sad.
Let's go ahead and take another quick break.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
Can you imagine being a sex ed teacher? These kids are asking questions as they're basically admitting to having sex. They're trying to be better about it, and you have to turn around and call the cops on them?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, as a not professional, but as a person who has some training and learning about sexual education in a non-denominational fellowship. it's crazy. I mean,
wait, but you are a denomination.
They're non-denominational. No, I don't know.
No, non-denominational means batshit crazy.
I should say,
evangelical.
Oh, wait, let me tell me, non-secular. There we go. Is that better?
No, they are secular.
They are secular. I don't, you know what, guys?
They're a liberal semi-faith community.
Semi-faith? Spiritual? Wiccans? I mean, they have Christians, they have Jewish,
a lot of atheists.
They have Hindus,
yeah.
They have atheists, they have Wiccan. I mean, it's confusing. Even growing up in it, I'm still fucking confused. That's probably why I was like, I'm going to go to a religion that makes sense. It's all written out. And then I was like, no, they hate ladies. And
they
I don't like this
bits.
Either. So.
Okay, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. So one thing related to what was in the break, which I haven't played that in a while, is we are going to be on Spotify.
Ooh.
We finally got invited in, so watch for us in the coming weeks.
Sweet.
And I haven't mentioned it in a while, but we also have apps in both the iOS App Store and in the Google Play Store. So if you want to get our app with the episodes, you can play it directly from there. You can get notifications when there's new episodes. You can contact us directly from it. It is awesome. Like, you can call our voicemail with just a single click from the app. You can email us with a single clip. It's pretty cool.
I feel a little bit like the Slowpoke meme. And we're available on Apple Store.
The one problem is
that's awesome.
The Atheist Nomads is just a little bit too long for the name, so you have to look for Atheist Nomad for the app.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so House Republicans have actually, since there have been some objections to the way they were trying to get rid of the Johnson Amendment and their tax reform bill, they have figured out how to double down on it. So they have now amended the bill to allow any not-for-profit organization to do politicking.
Gah!
Hmm.
That means FFRF, American Atheists, American Humanist Association. They will be able to endorse political candidates just like churches would have otherwise with this bill.
Yeah, so much for keeping money out of it.
This also means that 501c3 educational nonprofits like zoos would be able to. The Humane Society could start endorsing candidates.
All right, let them have it.
This would just be turning all of these tax-exempt organizations into double tax-exempt.
I mean, I feel like this is like one of those things where it's like, oh, there's two sides. Like, I don't know. I mean, in one sense, like if there's this candidate who has a lot of money and they're looking for money, I mean, let's give it to the pooches. Who the fuck cares? But on the other hand, I'm like, that's so horrible.
Yeah, I know. The whole premise is like, this is so messed up.
This is give unlimited money, tax-free, to be used for political campaigns. It is, it's terrible. That's even worse than if it was just churches.
Would it be funny if there was like a Republican candidate who was like, you know what? Planned Parenthoods are in every town.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give them a bunch of money to endorse me.
Yeah.
Dummies.
Suckos.
What would be funny will be if the Satanic Temple starts endorsing bad candidates.
Well, whoever's the most gluttonous, free of sex, lots of booze and food.
Ah, man.
Chris Christie.
They're not hedonistic. They're satanic. That's the difference.
I don't know. Someone was totally telling me that Satanism was all about whatever.
That's Levian Satanism?
Did they have a schism?
No, this would not be a case of a schism. This would be a separate origin.
That was a good callback, though.
I know. Yeah. I tried.
Good try.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I try a lot, and then I just end up looking like an idiot. But
hey, that's how this starts for you.
Yeah.
Jared Huffman is a Democrat from California in the U.S. House of Representatives, and he has finally come out and said there's too much religion in U.S. politics.
Oh, great.
That Republicans are using religion as a cudgel.
Yeah.
Or cudgel. Sorry, cudgel.
Not a word most Americans are familiar with, but nope. Yeah.
Please define.
I'm guessing like a club? I don't know.
Hold on. We can't let that one go.
No, we can't. You can't just say it, then just be like, I
know how to spell it.
I want
club,
to know.
Baton, mace.
Oh.
Nightstick.
Nice.
So I was right. Yay. I guessed correctly.
Can you spell it? Oh, you just read it.
Yeah, I did.
You would not have been able to spell it normally.
I still can't without finding it again. That is not the point. So yes, he has been leaving the religion and spirituality section on surveys and questionnaires blank for years, and has either put just left it blank. He has, in some cases, refused to answer, and in some he's put down that the question was offensive.
Nice.
Mm.
And he has now admitted that he is not religious, doesn't necessarily believe in a god. He identifies as a humanist. He's not quite comfortable with the label atheist because he thinks that requires too much certainty. So he's a... Hmm. Yeah.
It reminds me of Metalocalypse.
More
the Church of Agnostics. We don't know! It was great. It's a great episode. Anyway, yeah, no, he's also said something about, he's guessing there's, 30 to 40 people in the House who are atheists who just won't come out.
That's what people have been saying for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Some of the leaders in atheist groups actually know dozens of, personally know dozens of current elected officials that are atheists.
They should come out and be powerful.
Scary.
It is scary. It's so funny you think it's their livelihood that's on the line, but politicking isn't a livelihood. It's not like you have to be independently wealthy,
yeah,
to be a be in politics.
Well,
but still, if they're an independent business owner and they're making a bit of money, so that US they can house, run, you know,
free health insurance and $180,000 a year.
That's pretty
okay,
sweet.
For life. Going to politicking.
Yeah, they get retirement too.
Interesting.
Right. Well, they've.
No, it's a very nice livelihood.
Oh. I don't know what I was thinking.
They don't get full pay for life, but they get a pretty good retirement if they serve a couple terms.
I mean, hell, the people. Didn't that chick get like two houses over here in Idaho? Like, and she was really only a mile away from the Capitol, but she's from a different district, and so they gave her.
Yeah,
money
something weird.
But she lived in Star or something like that.
Yeah, that one was weird.
Well, she was being smart and then she got caught, so yeah. She was being dumb.
There you go.
And for our final story from last week's election, there was a lot of good news. My favorite, Danica Roem.
Yes. Happy, finally. I'm so excited for this happy news.
She's a transgender woman, heavy metal singer, and so she bad. Defeated the very man who wrote the anti-trans bathroom bill for Virginia.
That is just amazing. Like, I am just, when I saw that story, I was just, it put a smile on my face. Especially since I've lived in Virginia before.
Oh.
There's been a bunch of shit in Virginia, and it just makes me feel like, look at this one piece of change that can happen. It makes me feel very excited about what the possibilities for living in this state might be. You know? So I'm freaking fantastic. I love it.
Yep.
I'm freaking out, guys. So great.
Freaking fantastic.
Yeah. So, Danica, rock on.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, I just, and I, yes, I love the icing on the cake where it was like, oh, that is like the pure, oh, I'll show you, white male.
White
I
male.
Mean, that's not necessarily
true,
but
to oldies.
It's so much worse than
I'll
that.
I'll melt your face off.
Bob Marshall is the guy she beat. He self-declared himself to be the chief homophobe.
Oh my gosh.
He refused to debate Roem and also insisted on misgendering her.
Of course. I want to see the birth certificate. Yeah. I know that's what he said. I'm sure the birth certificate came up, but, and I think obviously she spoke well. She spoke to the people in her district, right? State. And
he was such a dick.
Yeah. And said what they needed to hear. And, I can't wait to see what changes she has in store.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a happy story, finally.
For real.
Yeah. And she is now the first openly transgender person to be elected to a state legislature in the U.S.
So we have our first trans and our first nice. Atheist.
In Virginia.
No, sorry. We've had quite a few of those.
He's not first atheist. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for this week. Erin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
Slightly less alcohol this time.
Yeah, so I think I didn't say listen. To me,
there you go.
As much, so that was good.
Good balance.
No,
two PBRs. Okay, we know
two PBRs. Yeah,
cha-ching.
Lauren, thank you for powering through.
Oh, thank you.
And remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.